ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
शिवोतमस्यन्ननवादिवस्तुषु अप्सायरत्नाभरणाभरादितु आनन्दकोटेष्वकरोरसन्मति. महाराज अम्बरीश gave up all attachment to household affairs, wives, children, friends and relatives, to the best of powerful elephants, to beautiful chariots, carts, horses, and inexhaustible jewels, and to ornaments, garments, and an inexhaustible treasury. He gave up attachment to all of them, regarding them as temporary and material. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Anasaktasya visayan yattaraham upayanjataha. Material possessions can be accepted as far as they can be used in devotional service. Anukulyena krishnanu shilanam. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. In preaching, many things considered material are needed. A devotee should not have any attachment for such material involvements as house, wife, children, friends, and cars. Maharaj Ambarish, for example, had all such things, but he was not attached to them. This is the effect of bhakti yoga. Bhakti paresanu bhavo viraktir anyatra cha. One who is advanced in devotional service has no attachment for material things for sense enjoyment, but for preaching. To spread the glories of the Lord, he accepts such things without attachment. Anasaktasya visayan yatarham upayanjataha. Everything can be used to the extent that can be engaged in Krishna's service. Translation: Maharaj Ambarish gave up all attachment to household affairs, wives, children, friends, and relatives, to the best of powerful elephants, to beautiful chariots, carts, horses, and inexhaustible jewels, and to ornaments, garments, and an inexhaustible treasury. He gave up all attachment to all of them, regarding them as temporary and material. Here we have, in a living example, the advice or instruction of Srila Rupa Goswami. Anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttama. This means that complete renunciation is to utilize everything in the loving service of Krishna, not to accept anything for our own personal selfish interests, but at the same time not to reject something if it can be used in Krishna's service. Oftentimes, Srila Prabhupada would give the example that there are many impersonalist yogis, gurus, who, because they do not understand the principle of loving service to the Lord, they feel that any connection to the things of this world is a contamination and an attachment. Therefore, if you offer them some money, or if you offer them some wealth of any sort, they will become very disturbed, hold their hands out, and deny the acceptance. Get it away from me. I cannot accept it. It is material. But Srila Prabhupada said, if you offer me, I will immediately put my hand out and I will accept it for the service of Krishna. Because in this world, we understand everything is the property of Krishna, and everything is for his enjoyment, and therefore everything has a very positive value. by which it can be reconnected to Krishna through bhakti. This world, for an advanced devotee of the Lord, sees that it is Vaikuntha, it is the spiritual world, because he sees how everything is for the decoration of the Lord. Everything is for his pleasure. In the temple that we are sitting today, we have a beautiful chandelier. Far more beautiful than what you find in the homes of the average person within the society. Perhaps some very, very rich person may have a chandelier like this within their house. And here we are. We are in the renounced order of life. We are sleeping on the floor. We eat whatever comes of its own accord by the arrangement of Guru and by the arrangement of the ashram. We do not complain. We do not criticize. We simply accept what comes as Krishna's mercy for our own bodily maintenance. And yet we are sitting under this beautiful chandelier. But none of us consider even the slightest that this is mine or that this is for my enjoyment. We are simply seeing how, yes, such a wonderful arrangement for Krishna. This is Krishna's home, and he deserves the best of everything. Therefore, a devotee can go through great lengths to bring beautiful gifts and offerings for the pleasure of Krishna. And Krishna especially appears in the form of the Archavigraha, the worshipable deity, just so we can learn very practically how to utilize the things of this world and offer them for the pleasure of God. Of course, very, very advanced devotees, even when they are not in the presence of the worshipable deity of the Lord, they are seeing everything for the pleasure of Krishna. But especially for the neophyte devotees, deity worship is very, very important, because it gives us a very practical and tangible method by which we can see how the things of this world can be used for the pleasure of Krishna. We can perceive with our very senses that here is Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, Nitai Gauda Chandra, and Sri Gopal, and they are standing before us. People in this world are very attracted to decorating themselves with jewelry. Jewels are considered one of the most precious gifts of nature. So although we do not wear a single jewel within our own body, we are very anxious to collect whatever beautiful jewels that Mother Earth is providing that come of its own accord, and we offer them for the beautification, for the decoration of Sri Krishna. But in fact, according to the Shastra, when you offer jewels for the decoration of Krishna, it is not that the jewels make Krishna beautiful, but Krishna makes the jewels beautiful. Similarly, fine silks and beautiful garments. Our ladies, they spend long, long, long hours sewing beautiful designs. Practically, within society, you do not find anyone dressed so elegantly as Radha Gopinath every day. To utilize these beautiful materials and to utilize whatever abilities we have for the offering of beautiful gifts of clothes to Krishna is the proper utilization of our human intelligence and our human abilities. Similarly, right now in the kitchen we can hear how the cooking is going on. It is actually going on all day. A couple hours a day there is cooking for the devotees. But all day long in this small kitchen there is cooking for the deities of Radha Gopinath. It is not that it is required for our maintenance. Of their offerings, we do not even hardly taste any of it. We give it to the guests. So, the utilization of our time to cook not just one, but wonderful, wonderful, wonderful varieties of bhoga, or food offerings, at each offering. In Jagannath Puri, there are 56 offerings a day. At New Vrindavan, I remember when I was the pujari, every noon we would offer 64 items to Sri Krishna. There was about six people from early morning till the time of the offering just cooking with intense enthusiasm to get all 64 offerings every day for just the one noon offering. And there were seven offerings a day. And each offering had an average of about 12 preparations. So one may think, what is the use? So much time and energy. And they're all small offerings, just enough for Krishna. But through this process, we develop love of God. We learn how to take the things of this world and use them for Krishna's service. And of course, for the purpose of preaching, the devotees of the Lord, they print books, use big modern printing presses, for the purpose of preaching, sometimes flying in the airplanes, driving in automobiles, for the purpose of preaching. Sometimes devotees may have to dress very nicely. For the purpose of preaching, a devotee is willing to accept whatever is required to help another person become Krishna conscious for the pleasure of Krishna. But as soon as we take any of these facilities for our own sense gratification, then it is the cause of bondage. But that same thing, when it is utilized for Krishna service, it becomes the very means of our liberation from bondage. It's like the example often used by Srila Prabhupada, was that if you are in the walking through the forest, sometimes you step on a thorn and the thorn goes deep into your foot and it causes you great pain. What is the process of removing that thorn? You take another thorn, and you use the one thorn to remove the original thorn. So similarly, attachment to material things is the cause of the thorn within our heart, which causes great pain and bondage. But using the same material thing in the service of the Lord removes the bondage and the suffering of human existence. The example that Srila Prabhupada used to give us is that we all have a general tendency of false ego to want to become very beautiful. By combing the hair of Sri Krishna, we lose the desire to comb our own hair. By cooking delicious foods for Krishna, we lose the desire simply to eat to satisfy our own tongue. To decorate the beautiful body of Krishna with nice jewels and clothing, we lose all desire to decorate our own body with clothes and jewelry. By working very hard in the service of the Lord, we lose all desire for the benefits of this material world for our own means. Because we experience a higher taste. We are in our natural position. And this, according to the great acharyas, is complete renunciation. It is true renunciation. We see in the example of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, Sanatana Goswami, he was living under a tree at the bank of the Jamuna on top of a hill. And sometimes he would roam to the Govardhan, sometimes to Nandagaon. At Govardhan, he lived on the banks of Manasi Ganga. At Nandagaon, he lived at the banks of Pavan Sarovar. In Vrindavan, he lived on the banks of Jamuna. He was traveling throughout Brajadham, simply sleeping under a different tree every night, absolutely unconcerned. Where will I sleep? Where will I eat? What will I wear? The discarded cloth thrown away is useless. He would pick up and make one small loincloth for himself. That was the only clothing he required. He didn't even have a second set. And as far as eating goes, rarely would he even consider such things. But for the maintenance of his body, for the purpose of Krishna service, he would every now and then beg for some chapati, some piece of roti. Just take what it would require and go on with his glorification of Sri Sri Radha Krishna by chanting bhajan, by chanting japa, by writing beautiful, beautiful books for the pleasure of the Lord, for the propagation of his glories. But it is explained when the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Madan Mohan appeared to him. He was wondering, how will I worship you? What do I have? In fact, he was worshipping Madan Mohan under a tree, simply offering him some dried chapatis. That is all that he had, going down to the Jamuna to bring the water for his baths. But with great love and devotion, he was always singing the glories of the Lord and offering his body, his mind, his words, his very life to the service of the Lord. But by the arrangement of Sri Madan Mohan, it was arranged through a wealthy merchant that a beautiful temple could be built. How did this happen? This wealthy merchant was in great difficulty, and Sanatana Goswami gave him some good guidance. And this man, seeing his devotion to Madan Gopal, he said, I will give you anything you want as far as wealth. I have a huge boatload of wealth. I want to give it all to you. Now Sanatana Goswami could have said, no, no, I do not require any wealth. Take it, sell it, enjoy life. Sanatana said, I do not require anything, but for Krishna, let us build him a beautiful house, a house that is so beautiful that the whole world will want to come and see him and worship him. And thus the whole world will benefit and become Krishna conscious. So they built a beautiful, beautiful temple, not an ordinary temple, but hand-carved stones with a high and beautiful dome that's shaped like a lotus flower. And Sanatana Goswami, he lived the same standard of simplicity himself. But thousands and thousands of people would come to Vrindavan, millions in the future, simply to bow down to this famous deity who was living in this beautiful temple. And when they would come, they would be taught the divine teachings of Srila Sanatana Goswami and understand the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in this way, the six Goswamis were teaching the perfect standard of how one in the renounced order of sannyas can utilize everything for the service of Krishna and not accept anything for his own personal sense gratification. And here in this chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we read how a grihastha can do the same thing. There is no difference. Ambarish Maharaj had wife, had children, had relatives, had so many friends. He had a marvelous palace that he was living in. But he was not at all attached to his household affairs for his own sense enjoyment. But he responsibly maintained all of these duties of life for the service of the Lord. The service of the Lord of a renunciate like Sanatana is to simply live personally a high standard of renunciation, but guide everyone toward Krishna consciousness by his teachings. Similarly, a king, a grihastha, his duty is essentially the same: to accept whatever is favorable for devotional service, reject whatever is unfavorable for devotional service, to maintain one's responsibilities in a way that the whole world can see a practical lifestyle of Krishna consciousness. This is the necessity of grihasthas within our community, because very few people are willing to accept the renounced order of life. It is a very, very rare class of men who are willing to accept it and maintain it. Therefore, for the common man, the perfect preacher in the grihastha ashram teaches them how you, in your very status right now, can be perfectly Krishna conscious by simply following these principles. So Maharaj Ambarish was simply accepting the arrangement of all of these material things around him in the service of the Lord. Otherwise, for his own purposes, he was willing to leave them behind in a second. He cared nothing for them. Maharaj Ambarish was living not for himself, but he was living for others. He was living for all humanity by guiding them on the path of Dharma. So therefore, a preacher is not one who simply fanatically presents the highest truth to everyone. But an expert preacher is one who knows how to bring a person to the highest truth. Sometimes, according to a person's condition, you have to gradually increase the dose of the medicine of Krishna consciousness. If you try to give some diseases, you have to gradually increase the dosage. If you give someone the final dose the first time, he will die. It's too much for him. He has to develop some immunity and gradually a little more, a little more, a little more, a little more. So a good doctor is not saying, well, here's the final dose. He dies. What is the use? He says, yes, I gave him the highest dose. I'm the best doctor because I gave him the highest dose. But you killed him. The whole purpose of giving him any medicine is to cure him, not to kill him. So similarly, in Krishna consciousness, we speak the truth, but we give the truth according to how a person can benefit and advance. We preach the highest in Bhagavatam class and Gita class, but when we personally meet every individual, we must understand how to best bring that person to the point of gradually accepting Krishna consciousness. That is the expertise of a great doctor or a great preacher in devotional service. Our life is simply for that purpose, to live so that whoever we meet, we can somehow or other bring them closer to Krishna. Preaching means to change a man's heart. To use whatever we have to change a man's heart. So Ambarish Maharaj, he had no reason, no purpose to remain a king in his beautiful palace, save and except that it was his duty to protect all the citizens, and the citizens have to have a king that they could look up to. They have to see a palace that they can respect. Yes, this man is great. He's living in a palace. He's wearing a crown. He's sitting on a throne. He is our king. We must respect and obey him. He knew that the common man needs to see a king in this position. So he was accepting it. But why? So that as king, he could guide them how to love Krishna, how to follow the principles of Dharma at every stage of their life. And this is the perfection of renunciation. Grihe tako vani tako sadahari bole tako. Whether one is a grihastha or whether one is living in the forest as a sannyasi, if one accepts this principle, propagating the holy name of the Lord for the upliftment of all living beings, and utilizing whatever is necessary to best serve the will of the Guru and the will of God, that is perfect renunciation. And that is the path of perfection. That is bhakti. Is there any questions? Yes. should not talk nonsense. But you may just discuss some social topic with the desire to, with the motive to gradually bring that person into a more comfortable atmosphere by which he can accept Krishna consciousness. Sometimes the best preaching is not to preach. And sometimes the best preaching is to preach. By understanding the philosophy, by chanting the holy names, one gradually becomes purified, and one gradually becomes, by Krishna's mercy and by Guru's mercy, one becomes sensitive to understand what is needed at the time. Krishna in your heart will direct you if you follow the process very carefully, and if your sincere desire is to assist him. And Guru and Krishna within your heart will guide you. Just be receptive.